bunch of years ago, I had the opportunity to be in Copenhagen, Denmark for Sukkot. At the time that I was there, when I first arrived there, I really had no idea where in the world I was. You know, sometimes you get lost and you know you're in America, you know you're in what state you're in, but you don't really know exactly where you are. I didn't know where on the globe I was. I found it on a globe on top of Germany. But I spent the Sukkot there, and one day of Chol HaMoed, we went to visit the crown jewels, the palace, and saw some pretty expensive things. I wonder if, I'm sure by now there's more security and you don't have as much access as you did. But I remember as we were walking in that on one side, there were barrels. Just before we went into the main area, so there were barrels in a gated area. So I asked the secretary sitting there, "What are these barrels?" She said, "Oh, that's the wine. It's called the Rosenberg wine. And they drink it once a year at the Queen's New Year's party. The barrels go back to 1598, 1599, and 1615. So if wine gets better with age, you're talking about priceless wine. The Chazal say that when Yosef HaTzadik sent wagons and he sent things back to Yaakov Avinu to bring him down to Mitzrayim a bunch of parshios ago, so it says that he also sent in, Chazal say, Yayin Yoshon Shedas Zikeinim Nocheimenu, old wine that the mind, the das, the thoughts that of elderly people have special pleasure from. Why would you think that is? Why does old wine especially give chizuk to elderly people? Anyone? Oh. Well, one pshat is because elderly people appreciate the fact that elderly wine gets better with age. And it's somewhat symbolic of themselves. We live very much in a society which idolizes youth. The worst thing in the world is to get old, even though I hate to tell everybody, we're all going to get old. Bezus Hashem, we should all live and be healthy. But we all get older and our body weakens somewhat and we don't look the same way we did. And the amount of hair that we once had may not be there one day. It's the way it goes. But Zekanim takes special pleasure in the fact that this is something that gets better with age. So that we look to old people, to elderly people, for advice. Why? The Gemara in Kedushin says that, I believe it was Rabbi Yochanan, used to stand up for any elderly person, not just a Jew. Because he said, how much experience does this person have? To live through life with all of its challenges and all of its vicissitudes, great rabbinic word, all of the challenges of life, to go through that, whether you like it or not, you gain experience from life. We have a mitzvah in the Torah, Neseva Tokum. It's part of the beautiful things of Eretz Yisrael. It's on the buses in Eretz Yisrael. There's a sticker behind the driver that says Neseva Tokum, which is a pasuk, which means for an old person, get up. It's one of our values. You don't see that on the buses in New York or in the subways. It's very rare to see somebody get up for an older person. For us, it's a value. It's a halacha. It's not just a nice thing to do. You see an older person standing on a train and you're out the seat first and it's a long trip and you're tired. The mitzvah in the Torah, Neseva Tokum. Because we value age and wisdom. We value things, right? Many of you might have your chalin, maybe it's already up, maybe it will be up, on a slow cooker. What's the advantage of a slow cooker? It cooks slowly and it cooks it well. And you know that smell that fills the house because it's done slowly. You can throw it, overnight kugel, thank you. You can throw it onto the stove and it'll be ready in a few minutes, but it doesn't taste the same. When it cooks slowly and it cooks well and it cooks thoroughly. Vayar ha'om ki boshesh Moshe. This week's parsha, as we mentioned briefly yesterday, we have one of the most egregious, most worst averos that were ever committed by Klal Yisrael. Hard to believe, just a few weeks after the Chet Ha'Egel. After Kabbalah Satorah. And they committed the Chet Ha'Egel. How did it happen? How could it have happened? So we know it was caused by the Eruv Rav, fine. But the bottom line is all of Klal Yisrael is held accountable for it. What was the root source of what went wrong? Vayar ha'om ki boshesh Moshe, they saw that Moshe was delayed. the Malach HaMavis put a picture, an image of Moshe Rabbeinu dead. And they saw it. And what happened? They panicked. And they said, we need an answer now. We need to figure out something now. We cannot wait. What's going to happen? When a person acts out of a feeling of impatience, wild impatience, now, it's got to be done something now, without thinking it through. That does not mean that there's not a time when a person should act quickly. Of course there is. Zrizus is part of the hallmarks of Pesach. Matzah, not chametz. You have to be a zariz. But it's done, it's planned out. To be a zariz, you have to plan beforehand. In order to bake matzah quickly, you have to plan beforehand. David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Chashti velo yismamati. No, that's not the pasuk. He says, I hurried and I didn't delay. I think maybe it is the pasuk. Chashti velo yismamati. I forgot the lashon of the pasuk. He says, I hurried and I did not delay. I don't understand. If you hurried, then you didn't delay.
Exactly.
If you hurried, then you didn't delay. So, the answer is that David HaMelech was saying, you know, many times you see somebody hurrying. The guy's running out to the school bus. Whew, you say, wow, he's a Zoris. Look how quickly he's running to go to yeshiva. No, he woke up late and he tarried and now the bus is coming. Mm-hmm. David HaMelech says, I hurried, but it's not because I delayed. It's not because I was late to davening that I was running to shul. I was running because I was excited. You have to, if you want to hurry to do mitzvahs properly, you have to plan beforehand. But when a person acts out of impulse, oh my gosh, what's going to happen now? What are we going to do? That's when disaster strikes. And that's what happened. Klal Yisrael did not come respectfully to Aaron and say, Aaron, we are scared, we are nervous, we don't know what's going to be, help us, what should we do? They came in a mass and they demanded, now, what's going to happen? First, they killed Hur. Imagine, and they murdered him. And if you would have said to them, what are you doing? They would have said, what do you mean? Hur is, he's crazy. Chas v'shal. He's telling us that we have to wait. What do you mean? How are we going to serve Hashem? How are we going to be connected to Hashem? But they acted impulsively. Reuven, the great Tzaddik Reuven. We have to be very careful when we talk about such great people. Reuven, the son of Yaakov, the first of the Shvatim. Yaakov Avinu says to him, Pachas Kamayim, you were too quick. You were too impulsive. You acted without thinking it through enough. And we can imagine that Reuven thought it through. But Yaakov says, on your level, Reuven, not enough. Al Tosar, you're no longer superior. You lost the Malchus. He lost the Kahuna. He lost the Bechora. Because he acted too quickly. And that was the source of the Cheta Egel. Paganism, Avodah Zarah, is so attractive. You know why? Because it's so easy. It's so quick. You do a few little things. You do here, you bow, you're done. Avodas Hashem is not so quick. It's not so easy. There's a lot of details. There's a lot that we have to do. It takes patience. You know who it takes the most patience with? Yourself. There's a fellow, there's a kever, I should say, on Har HaZeisim. Har HaZeisim has tens of thousands of kvarim. It's a big thing to be buried on Har HaZeisim. I'll say the corny line.
Yes.
People are dying to get in there. It was a joke. Okay. Anyway, but it's very, but Har HaZeisim is right next to where, right, talking about the Paraduma, to where the Paraduma was brought on top of Har HaZeisim facing the Beis HaMikdash. Right next, it's the mountain right next to the Har HaBayis. There's a kever there. Very simple looking kever. And the name on the kever is Rabbi Eliezer Yosef Lederberg. And what does it say on his kever? It says, Ponitman, a person, here's buried a person who learned Meseches Beya. Meseches Beya is one of the Mesechtes in Shas. It's not from the bigger ones. It's not an easy Mesechtes. It's about Ilchus Yontif, Ilchus Mukta, a lot of these types of halachas. So sometimes, and I'll get back to his kever in a second, sometimes you learn something once, twice, you see a kid in your class, he aces a test, you have to work hard, you learned it three or four times, and you're still dejected because you don't understand it well. It says on his kever that he learned Meseches Beya 4,000 times. And it said that he wanted it to be written on his kever, maybe other people will be inspired. And when you learn it again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, and again, you don't master Shas by learning it once. You don't become a Talmud Chacham by learning things quickly. Vayaram ki boshesh Moshe, I want it now. Right, the Vilna Gaon says that people say to themselves, people say in their minds, I want to learn all of Shas tonight. and I want to get a good night's sleep. No, it doesn't come quickly. Right? People also, it comes to their midos also. God, grant me patience now! Well, that doesn't work. You want to become a patient person? You want to work on your midos? It takes a lot of work. It takes time. It takes effort. What's the difference between the first luchos and the second luchos? The first luchos were broken. They didn't last. The first luchos came from Hashem completely. They didn't last. The second luchos, till they were hidden away, but they still in existence somewhere. The second luchos, Moshe Rabbeinu had to write. We were involved in. When Hashem gives us something as a gift, as holy as it is, it doesn't necessarily last. Of course it lasts. In Shemayim it lasts. But greater is when we have to work at something. That brings Kedusha down. When we have to work for the Kedusha. I'll give you another example. It's amazing. The greatest event that ever happened in the history of the world was Har Sinai, Kabbalah Satoru. Today, you could do whatever you want if you know where Har Sinai is. They think they know. Maybe they know. Do whatever you want on Har Sinai. You want to make a barbecue? Make a barbecue. And if you go to Har Abayis till today, there's Kedusha there. Ozaza, right? Kitchel Shaito, Kitchel Asilavo, the Gemara Megillah says. The Kedusha is eternal. Till today, we have this Kedusha on Har Abayis. You can't go wherever you want up there. I don't understand. Har Sinai was a greater event. Kabbalah Satorah was a greater event. But Kabbalah Satorah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu brought the Shekhinah down. So when it was over, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, took the Shekhinah back. Har Abayis, we brought the Shekhinah through our efforts. Does that mean that what we do is greater than what Hashem does? Well, but Hashem values it more. That Kedusha lasts more when we work for it. We live in a world where people like very quick things. Instant gratification. That is the allure, part of the allure of all the devices. Right? Chats and social media and everything. It's all there. It's instant. It's all instant. But real, and the problem is that real relationships, real friendships, not how many friends you have on Facebook, which really doesn't amount to much, but real friendships are something that require work and vulnerability, because we sometimes uncomfortable and we share things, and it's not so easy to have real friends. I saw from a very, very famous celebrity, I saw a quote from her once. She said, anybody, no, it was Oprah, I think, if you really want to know. I saw it quoted something. But she said that anybody will come with you in the limousine, but only a real friend will walk home with you in the rain. I don't even have anybody who will come with me in a limousine, but okay, that's because I don't own one yet. But, thank you, Ezra, appreciate it. But the idea is, real growth, real relationships, anything that's valuable in life takes work and takes patience. I remember a friend of mine wrote a letter to me. He was in Eretz Yisrael. When he first got there, you know, many of you will be Zocha Bez Hashem to learn in Eretz Yisrael for a year. It's not so easy, especially at the beginning. It's a different country, it's different mentality, different food. You know, it's not as hard as it once was, that's for sure, but it's not so easy to adjust necessarily. And he wrote that he was having a hard time. But he said, you know what? It's brought down, the Gemara in Brachas says that there are three things that are nicknames for Yisurin. Three things that only come through challenge. Eretz Yisrael, Olam Abba, and Torah. None of those three come easy. So he says, I'm trying to get all three at once. It makes sense that it's going to be a little bit hard. It was a very witty line. Trying to get Eretz Yisrael, Olam Abba, and Torah at the same time. Tell you a very, very powerful story. Obviously, it's a little bit beyond, but the idea behind it. The Sefer HaChassidim brings down, talking about patience, that there was a fellow who was on his deathbed, and he asked his son to swear to him that whenever he was upset about something, angry about something, he would never act until the morning. He would never act on it until the morning. And he swore to his father. In those days, people went away on business trips for many, many years, for many months at a time. Even in those days, this was a long time. A fellow went on a business trip for 20 years. And he comes back. His wife didn't know exactly when he was coming back. He comes back one night, late afternoon, it's evening time. And he sees his wife hugging a young man. and he takes out his sword to kill him. He's gonna, young man hugging his wife. And at the last second, he remembers his oath to his father. And as angry as he is, he puts his sword back in and he holds himself back. Says the Sefer HaChassidim, the next morning he found out, when he had left on his trip, his wife was pregnant, and that was his 20-year-old or 19-and-a-half-year-old son. And if he would have killed him, would have killed his son. So of course, that's a story that's beyond. But the idea of waiting until the morning. Today's day and age, let me tell you something that's very valuable. I know for myself, sometimes you get, and you'll get older, today things are, I hope, aren't as important. But you get older and you get emails about things that make you upset. And you want to respond right away. Chutzpah, I can't believe the person wrote this thing, whatever. Don't respond until the morning. Or don't respond, or don't press send until you showed it to someone else. The patience. When we say now, Moshe Rabbeinu's not here now. You know what you end up with? You end up with a cheder ego. Make biggest mistakes in our lives when we act without thinking, without patience. If Klal Yisrael would have waited till the next morning, the whole chet wouldn't have happened. And it led to the worst things in the world. You see it in the Purim story. Esther waits. Klal Yisrael's at stake. The whole world is at stake. What's going to be? And Esther says, Yinasein gam mocher. Twice she asks for tomorrow. When it comes to the party, she says, wait until tomorrow. When it comes to Klal Yisrael fighting against their enemy, she says, give us also tomorrow. Tomorrow, not today. When we act in Hayom, then we make mistakes. My friends, we all hopefully have dreams. We all have dreams of becoming great people. In any which way. In Torah, in Avodah, in Midos. In whatever way you want. You need to have patience. Patience with yourself. And you need to remember that true greatness, anything worthwhile in life, takes work. And it doesn't come easy. We should all be zochen not to build egels chas v'shalom, but to only and always build mishkans that we bring the shechinah down. Have a wonderful Shabbos.